Well, if you would turn in your Bibles one more time to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We read it together in our text, again, a little bit different than the version we read from the back of the Trinity hymnal. Verse 6, our text, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." May God add His blessing to the reading, consideration of His Word tonight. Well, this morning it seems that I was probably the only one that didn't catch my mistake in mixing up some names. As I was thinking of our brother Lou DeWeerd, who was taken from us a little over a week ago, remembering him in prayer and speaking of the funeral service, I inadvertently referenced his dear brother Elmer. Some of you mentioned that to me. Elmer called me after the morning service to let me know he was very much alive, for which I am grateful. And indeed, we had a good laugh about that. We make those kinds of mistakes, and it's a blessing to be able to chuckle about that. And we didn't laugh at Lou's expense, because we know, as I thought about it this afternoon, Lou enjoys the blessing of the closing of Psalm 23, that which we long for, that which we look forward to. He enjoys it even at this time, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You may remember some weeks ago when we began our study of Psalm 23 that I mentioned that one commentator calls Psalm 23 the pearl of the Psalms. It is indeed a gem, and we could even go a little bit further and say it is the gospel nugget of the Old Testament. We know, of course, that the Bible says so very much about the judgment of God against His enemies, but here in Psalm 23, in many, many other places as well, to be sure, but in a particular way here in Psalm 23, we find we have the blessed comfort, as we have considered, of the Lord's care and His protection and the preservation of His of the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. And as we have considered this together, we notice that David has recounted the blessings of God to him, beginning with that powerful yet beautiful confession, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And then with the beautiful imagery of a shepherd and his sheep, David has explained how the shepherd provides necessarily for the totally helpless, hopeless, and undeserving sheep. The shepherd must necessarily provide for the sheep, as we have considered. And throughout this psalm, then, David has explained how he is not in want, how he does not want, how he does not lack anything. Even in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, even in the presence of his enemies, he does not lack, because the grace of God is greater than all of our fears, all of David's fears, and the same is true for you and me. I think we will all agree that the Christian life is indeed a pilgrimage. It's a pilgrimage, and in shepherd sheep language, David has taken us on a pilgrimage from the high summer grazing spots along the paths back to the protected lowlands for the summer months or the winter months, risking the dangers of the valley passageways back to the mountain tabletops. It seems that that's a pretty good general description of life, isn't it? That's what this life is like. This life is filled with different situations and circumstances. It's filled with joys and sorrows. It's filled with comforts and dangers. Yet in all of it, the child of God is able to confess, "I shall not want. I shall lack nothing that is needful for me." And now as we come to the end of this psalm, with the end of this psalm, David also confesses his confidence and hope even for the end of the journey, because the Lord's care is not just for a season. The Lord's care is never ending. His comfort, the comfort that He provides for you and me, is both for now and forever. And therefore, we consider tonight the presence of the Good Shepherd gives confidence for life. And David gives testimony to that as he speaks of the joy of grace now. and as well the assurance of glory forever. He has just spoken about the valley of the shadow of death and dining in the presence of his enemies, both situations that point to grave danger. And now David confesses a lack of danger in the presence of his good shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. First of all, he confidently enjoys the joy of grace now, today, in the present, this very moment, and every day of life. And that grace includes the grace of God's favor. David, if you will, sums up the care that he has spoken of throughout this psalm with two words, goodness and mercy, or as the other translations, as goodness and love or loving kindness. He goes from telling how he lacks nothing to why he lacks nothing. And this favor that is expressed through the goodness and the mercy of God is pointing to the loyalty of God. God's loyalty is not spontaneous. It is not on-again, off-again favor of the Lord when he feels like it. But if he doesn't feel like it, forget it. Don't expect it. The loyalty of God is the kind of loyalty and dependability that we find, or at least we ought to find, in a loving family. It's the kind of loyalty that ought to exist between a husband and a wife, between a parent and a child, between a king and his people. God's loyalty is unconditional. It is a loyalty that seeks to give and to give and to give and never to get. And God is perfectly loyal when it comes to his people, so much so that the very hairs of each one of our heads are all numbered. His care is complete. Not only is he ready to help and save, but he gives the assurance of the presence of his power over destiny in every situation of life and in every place of distress and suffering. Oh, the goodness of God, beloved, we might say, is his rich blessing toward his people throughout all of life. The blessings of God that he seeks to pour out on his people, faithfully granting what we need all the time. And his mercy, or his loving kindness, we may say, is his never-ending love revealed in his grace and salvation, that grace and salvation expressed and experienced in a daily life. Even as the psalmist points out in Psalm 118, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And notice what David says God does with his goodness and mercy. "It shall follow me." It shall follow me. And David is not talking there about following someone from a distance and every time they happen to turn around suspecting that they are being followed, you quick duck behind something so they don't see you. No, what David is talking about is that the Lord pursues. He chases after. And how beautiful this is, because this one who was formerly pursued and chased by his enemies who hated David, who sought to take David's life, now David is being pursued and chased by something altogether different, the goodness and the mercy of God that seeks to rescue and to heal, to restore, to bless, to protect, to provide. Again, if we want to go back, we need to go back to the shepherd-sheep illustration. The shepherd had sheepdogs. The sheepdogs really had a twofold task. One of their tasks was to frighten off the predators, therefore to protect the sheep, but also to protect the sheep from wandering off into danger, therefore nipping at those that were straying to bring them back to the right way. God pursues his people with his goodness, his blessings to guide them throughout the way, and his mercy to bring back the wayward and the wandering. And therefore, God, his goodness and mercy includes the use of his rod and his staff. Because even as God's people, beloved, we know that we deserve that his anger and that his punishment would pursue us. That's what we deserve. Yet for the sake of Jesus Christ and his saving sacrifice, the presence of God's goodness and mercy instead shields and protects and leads and guides and restores and does everything else for God's people that we need. This joy of grace now includes the grace of God's favor, but also the grace of God's presence. Now remember, David is not saying here that life is going to be grand, that this life is going to be grand with no problems, that it's always going to be easy street. Because if that's what David was saying, he would be contradicting everything else he has said so far, especially as he has talked about the valley of the shadow of death and he has talked about his enemies. The grace, what David is saying here is that the grace of God's presence is with the child of God. David is saying that God will not allow his people to travel this pilgrimage unattended or alone. Indeed, a most precious truth for all those who embrace the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, boys and girls and young people. A precious truth that you must know by faith. That there's not one day, not one moment, that God leaves His child unattended or alone. All of our days, good or bad, blue or gray skies, days of plenty or days of want, are crowned with the goodness and the mercy of the Lord's presence and covenantal faithfulness. He is with His people, as David says in verse 4, "You are with me." And we can be sure that David knew full well that Jehovah pursues His people with His presence. David experienced it, and we can reflect on just a couple of examples, a couple of events in David's life. Think about Goliath, when David stood face to face with the giant, the champion of the Philistines. David prevailed because of the strong arm of the Lord. When David had been chased and hunted by his enemies, you know the stories that are recorded in Scripture. God always kept him one step ahead of the enemy. When he fell deep into sin with Bathsheba, the Lord forgave him and restored him. Indeed, not without consequence. But that was the goodness and the mercy of God following him. And Bible history gives us a number of examples of the Lord's goodness and mercy following His people. We remember the Red Sea and Israel as they were up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was right behind them. They had no place to go. And the pillar of fire or cloud that had gone before them, God was in that pillar, moved behind them, and never again would they lay eyes upon Pharaoh's army. When Noah's ark was just a speck on the worldwide sea, God never left him. When Daniel was in the lion's den, the angel of the Lord was there to watch over the mouths of those lions. When his three friends were in the fiery furnace, there was that fourth one who was with them. And we know that not even the smoke was able to penetrate their clothing. When Paul, as a prisoner, was on his way to Rome and the ship was being torn, literally like a piece of paper, torn to shreds by the storm in Acts chapter 27, he was able to say with confidence to the rest of those on the ship, "Not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you." And then we can go to Hebrews chapter 11. We know that that's really the Old Testament commentary on the heroes of faith. The Old Testament saints were champions of faith by the grace of God. Part of what we read there is this: others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. History has it that that's what happened to Isaiah. He was sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And beloved, sometimes we think we have it bad. But all of them, you see, could confidently confess, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." But maybe this is true of you and me as well. We know by experience God pursuing us. Maybe it's by way of really, truly knowing His forgiving grace because of some particular sin in our lives. Or even more so, we know that He pursued us by restoring us from a life of sin and shame. Or probably for many of us, we know, looking back, we're oblivious at the time, but we can look back over times in our life where He provided safety in times of danger. We didn't even realize there was danger at the time. But we look back and all we can say is, "He sent His angels to watch over me." David had experienced the grace of God as he outlines throughout this short psalm, and this experience gave him confidence in the hope of the very same future grace all the days of my life. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That word surely is a powerful word. The idea there is certainty, or to put it another way, only goodness and mercy shall follow me. Only this is how it can be with the Lord. It can be no other way. The Lord's goodness and mercy will always be there for me, is what David says. Beloved, is that your confession? Is that your confidence in the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ? That no matter what takes place in this life, that you are followed, you are pursued, you are chased with God's goodness and mercy. It doesn't mean that we always feel like it. We know that's not true. And indeed, it's easy to confess this in good times when we are on easy street, as it were. But what about when your body is attacked and riddled with pain? What about when you stand helplessly as a loved one dies, and maybe even a painful death? What about when you struggle with your job and the money is just not there? Or what about when your friends turn against you, or you realize that you're just not satisfied with God's appointed lot for you in life? What about when your world falls apart as it seems and your dreams are shattered? What about when Satan is breathing down your neck with his temptations? What about when you indeed do endure the consequences of your own sin? With any adversity, with any trouble, can you truly say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? This morning, we mentioned briefly those who wonder, well, what good does the cross do for me in the here and now? This is the good that it does in the here and now. That God's people can say, I have nothing to fear because my God is with me. God allows us to face dark and difficult days, yet as believers, we always seem to find out, it may take us a little bit because sometimes we're slow learners, but we always seem to find out that He has and He does work it for our benefit. And it is always also true as well that we are more inclined to fear and to worry and to ask why when we don't understand. Yet it's especially in those times that the Lord follows us with His goodness and His mercy. Because only one in the care of the Lord Jesus, only one who lives in His presence, can truly say with Paul, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Beloved, God grants us the experiences of this life, whatever they might be, with His preservation, preserving His people through them, in order to give you and me confidence for the future, that we might truly realize that His mercy is new every morning. You see, with Psalm 23, David helps us to realize the supreme portrait of our shepherd with his sheep. The supreme portrait. And that is that He gives completely. He gives undeservingly. He gives without reservation. All of His work, all of His watchfulness, all of His skill and concern, all of His self-sacrifice is born of His love that gave itself for His sheep. As John says in 1 John 3, by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us. And beloved, that means that the Lord not only follows us with His goodness and mercy, but He goes before us. His goodness and mercy went before us to the cross. And therefore, those who believe on Him, those who live in Him, not only can, but surely do have the joy of grace now and are able to sing with confidence, my faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary. While life's dark maze I tread and griefs around me spread, be Thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day. Wipe sorrow's tears away. Nor let me ever stray from Thee aside. That's what difference the cross of Jesus makes for you and me today. David, because he belonged to the Lord, did not want, he did not lack throughout this life, nor did he lack forever. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He had confidence in the assurance of glory forever in the second place. An eternal blessing for those who have truly tasted, as David says in Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. An eternal blessing, the assurance of glory for eternity because of the believer's true citizenship. This present world, we know, is not the Christian's home. But as Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. Heaven is where we are called to store up our treasures. Heaven is where our focus ought to be as we travel throughout this life. Indeed, today in this life, as we gather in the Lord's house on the Lord's day to worship, in essence, we join Jacob at Bethel, and we are able to say with confidence, as Jacob did, surely the Lord is in this place. And here, by the grace of God, as we gather together for worship, we receive the grace of strength from our God for the next leg of the pilgrimage. And that grace follows us each and every day, but one day we shall rejoice with the fulfillment of the revelation to John from Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. One day, beloved, God's people will no longer frequent the house of God one day out of seven, but they shall dwell there forever. David, with Psalm 23, has taken us on a journey. But he beautifully ends up in the palace of the king. And that's the goal, isn't it? That's the final destination, the house of the Lord. Is that your goal? Is that your destination? You see, those who are not welcome in the glory of His house, they will suffer the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth and where the worm does not die. In heaven, God's people enjoy the sea of crystal, but in hell, the wicked are consumed in the lake of fire. By faith, David had the confidence of his destination. He finds rest and sanctuary in God alone. In fact, really, that's the theme of David in the Psalms, of continually abiding in God's house. For example, in Psalm 27, verse 4, he says, One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. In Psalm 61, verse 4, Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. By faith, David had confidence of his destination, and by grace, David was not nearsighted, only living for the here and now. Boys and girls, to be nearsighted means that you can only see a certain distance in front of you clearly. You can't see things far away clearly. They're all fuzzy. They're all blurry. David was not nearsighted, only living in the here and now, as so many are. He was farsighted. He looked down the road. He could see down the road, and he persevered because he was preserved by the hand of God. For him, there was no comfort or satisfaction in earthly pleasures if he did not first of all belong in the fold of God. He says in Psalm 144, verse 15, Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. What blessings? Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Oh, beloved, may what was true for David be true of you and me, that we would not find comfort, that we would not be able to find satisfaction in the things of this world if we are not first of all in the fold of God. May that be our true comfort. May that be our true satisfaction. The blessings that David enjoyed from the hand of God in this life elevated him to the hope of an everlasting inheritance, and he could confidently say with Paul, neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beloved, that's exactly why our Savior came. That's why He came. That might be true of you and me. With a shadow of death surrounding him, with a threat of deadly enemies in his presence, David had the assurance of glory forever, because he knew, as well as Paul says in Romans, that none of those things are able to separate him from the love of God. Beloved, being in the sphere of God's presence, which includes enjoying the deliverance that He alone brings, it includes dwelling in His house forever, is the only security that there really is. Nothing more is needed. And that confidence, beloved, belongs only to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to all those, but only those who believe in Him, those who have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, to whom He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And you know what that means? That means once saved, always saved. We don't say that arrogantly. But we are able to say that with humble confidence. To dwell in God's house is to live in His presence consciously, with your soul always at His throne of grace, begging for grace and always enjoying it. And in this life, beloved, with its joys and sorrows, with its journeying and rest, with its temporary peace and frequent struggles, it all points to and prepares us, God's people, for the life to come. Again, David opens this psalm with a confession of ownership. The Lord is my shepherd. He owns me. He owns me. I am His. I belong to Him. And now he closes with a beautiful confession of his contentment and satisfaction with his lot in this life and his sure hope for the next life. He is at home with the Lord. He desires nothing else. Are we as proud, humbly proud? Are we as proud and content to belong to our good shepherd? Is he truly our heart's desire? Are we content with the joy of his grace now and the assurance of glory for eternity? Now may it be that our God would remove distraction and discontentment from us, and that He would secure us more and more in this very confidence. Psalm 23 is indeed a psalm of comfort, but it's also a psalm of confidence. Comfort and confidence which the Lord graciously showers upon those who understand their need for a Savior, for those who are brought into the sheepfold through the one and only proper gate, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb has been slain. The sacrifice has been made and accepted. The flock of God can exuberantly proclaim, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." We all know those who walk around from day to day nervous and weary and worn out, with no confidence for today, let alone for tomorrow. There is only true comfort in belonging body and soul, in life and in death, and to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. The only true refuge is to be safe in the fold of God, in the presence of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Only there can you find confidence for life, now and forever. And only in Him, beloved, can we confidently sing, "When ends life's transient dream, when death's cold, sullen stream would o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above, a ransomed soul." Let's pray together.